Welcome to the Crushing Cashflow Podcast, where we share phenomenal advice and dozens of decades of wisdom from investors and entrepreneurs of all types and all stages of their journeys. We'll cover many forms of cash flowing assets, such as real estate, stock investing, entrepreneurship, and general finance guidance. Listen in and learn from those who are crushing it out there, as well as those who have been crushed by business or their investments. Now, here's your host, Andrew Schutzky.
Welcome back to another episode of Crushing Cashflow. I'm your host, as always, Andrew Schutzky. Today's guest is a special one. He's a co-founder of Dubay Investor Group, a private equity real estate investment firm that co-invests with a group of investors in large apartment buildings. Sounds very familiar to me. I love it. And Jess brings over 10 years of real estate investing experience across different markets in the United States. We'll talk about where he invests in a minute. He started his investing in 2012. And since then, he's been through the residential cycle, much like myself, and he's gone full cycle with many, many different projects. He's a limited partner over 1,100 units across the Sunbelt market and a general partner in over 660 units across Southeast United States and total assets of over $90 million under management. Very impressive there. Much like myself, another common point, he's passionate about helping technology professionals specifically build wealth and save on taxes by investing in real estate. So again, and Jess, we have lots of things in common. I'm looking forward to digging into the show. But first and foremost, big welcome to the show, Mr. Anjesh Dubay. How are you, Anjesh?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Andrew. It's really great to be here. Thank you so much.
Awesome. So I know I didn't do your introduction, your background justice with the short introduction. Tell us more about your journey. And I'd love to hear about how you worked the W-2 career in there and how you started your investing career, how that paralleled with in the technology realm.
Yeah, definitely. That's a loaded question for sure. So I'll start with a little bit tell my real estate journey, but I have to take you and the listeners in the past a little bit, and yeah, I'll go over for the next 3 to 5 minutes, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Cool. Yeah, so I have to tell about my grandfather, really take it back in the time. So he was really the owner of 15 units apartment building in 1960s. So he lived in one unit and rented all of them. And then he retired from his government job and lived comfortably on his pension and apartment investing income till he died. So as I was growing up, I didn't understand investment at all. I was really young. Any terminology like cash on cash or what's IRR, and what other rental metrics are. But I understood that his rental income is supporting his lifestyle as he traveled around with his visiting his kids and meeting grandkids and everyone else in the family. So I understood that along with his pension income, his rental income was the big contributing factor there. I was really young, so I didn't think much of that experience up until a few years ago when I reflected back and somebody asked me a question that, hey, what caused you to be really invest into real estate and what caused your mindset to be like that? I'm like, that's a great question. I didn't think about that. And then I started really reflecting that when does this really happen? And I believe that childhood experience that I observed over time was a major contributing factor and mostly an originating really factor there that caused me to be really interested in real estate. So fast forward, when I started my first job and saved enough, me and my wife, first thing we did was buy real estate. We didn't run any numbers, no pro forma, no projection, nothing. That's just really went ahead and just bought it. And really the main reason was that we observed that growing up, how the impact of real estate can be in the long term. And we wanted to have that for us and our families. From there on, we continued to save. We went on to invest in multiple states, as you just described in my portfolio. And very recently, we thought that, hey, this is going really well. If you really want to make a difference, that's when we started investing passively in syndications. And after we saw the impact of that, we were like, hey, this makes total sense. I think going forward, this is what we would like to do and make an impact in the people who are close to us, the people we know, and then educate others that how this can impact others. So really the reason that I'm telling that story is that everyone's journey is a little bit different. So mine and my wife didn't start because we read a real estate book or we went to a real estate course and that changed our mind about real estate. But it really started at the childhood, just like, hey, my granddad made a really good decisions and that's still impacting his grandkids for generations. So he truly created that generational wealth. So yeah, that's my background, and then from there, that's where I am today and my life.
Awesome. So it's another point of commonality. I know you mentioned your grandfather had that, I think it was a 15 unit. My grandfather, yes. I think it was either a quadplex or a sixplex. And I can assure you, he had no idea what a cash on cash, an ROI, any of those terms were. He's like, oh, it's a decent area. I can buy this at a decent price. I know what rents would be. It's really basic math. This doesn't have to be in a PhD in engineering. I'm curious though, were you involved in any way with the property? I know for me, I used to cut the grass there. Again, I didn't think anything of it. I wasn't writing numbers. I think I was probably an early teenager, maybe just before that at the time. So I was like, oh, okay, there's people coming and going. I saw it as a headache. I'm like, oh, he's got to do all this maintenance at the time. You know, being a naive teenager, I guess at a preteen maybe. Were you involved in the maintenance of the upkeep? What was the trigger for you? Or is it just very just driving by and passive? I'm curious.
Yeah, so we used to visit my granddad quite often. And then I saw him either calling somebody to fix some stuff or maybe going into somebody's places and then fix it up. Obviously, I'm like, that's like a lot of work. And then I'll go and play. But then when the time comes, and obviously my granddad was like, he wanted to probably get interested. And then he was like, hey, can you go and check if that guy's rent is ready? Can you go and like get an envelope from there? I'm like, oh, yeah, sure, I can do that. That's easy, collecting money from the people. And then like, oh, that's fun. Someone gives you money and then I'll give it back to the granddad. And then he get me something really small stuff. And like, all right, I'm going to go and back to play. So like, that's just a very small involvement that like I enjoyed that part.
That's awesome. No, it's interesting how, you know, I think all of us that had that seed planted, like you and I have clearly had a similar, you know, probably maybe earlier for you than me, it's impacting in a lasting way. And it's like, you don't realize that it just sneaks up on you later in life. I'd love to know, because again, we took a similar journey. What triggered you to go into the apartment building side of things rather than keep building the residential empire one unit at a time, one brick by brick? What was the inflection point for you, the eureka moment?
Yeah, so I think mainly when we did this for like years now, about 7-8 years, we continued to doing by duplex, condo, single family, triplexes. We realized that, and we did this, we are based in California, San Francisco Bay Area, but this is a pricey area. So entry point is really high. So we started looking into different markets, up and coming markets, like really back in 2013, 14. Like what are the markets are coming up? Where is the population growth is happening? So it took a lot of time and then we did it and those all properties are doing great, which is awesome. But then slowly over time, we realized that even after putting that much time, we're still acquiring maybe one property, one tenant. There's a high risk if tenant turns over, my mortgage, my really cash flow drops and then I'm paying the mortgage out of pocket for that month or 2 months till it gets filled in again. And then when we started looking at, hey, it's the same amount of research would require for acquiring triplex, quadplex, 5-unit, 10-unit, 20-units, 100-units, you will still do the same research, but you can acquire a larger property if you just have to work with more people. You just have to bring in partners, utilize their expertise. And now suddenly you don't have to work all the work by yourself. Someone is local on the ground. Someone is bringing the property, someone is providing their insight, someone is managing the property, and someone is bringing capital to close and things like that. And that just made us like, hey, that's super easy. Why am I doing this all alone by myself when there are so many smart people out there? I can work with them and then still do what I'm good at it, utilize my strength and have maybe a more impact than what I was having before.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So I'm curious, what do you think holds back? I always love asking this question. What do you think holds people back from going big early in their real estate journey or career? Like, how did you overcome that fear? Or what would you say holds most people back to go to 100 unit or a 50 unit? Because that seems daunting to most people, right?
Absolutely. And there is, and I reflected back to myself as well. Like, why I knew about the concept earlier on, but I didn't take a deep dive into it. And I think it relates to a lot of other people as well. And the one answer for that is, I need to know everything before I can do it. Mm-hmm. And that is true. That is a myth. You don't need to do it, know everything. You can be good at one thing, find a partner that can be good on other stuff, right? And then as a whole, you form a team, you are working together to add value to your business, to your property, to your investment, right? And then it's a win-win situation. It's not a zero-sum game, right? It's not that somebody's losing and then only you are winning. It's everyone wins in that regard. And now your progress becomes really faster.
I always like to describe it as real estate really isn't a property or an asset business. It's a relationship business, right? And if you think of it that
absolutely.
Way, what connections can help me? How do I help them? It opens up and unlocks a lot of possibilities. No, you don't have to know everything. So let's shift gears a bit. You're a fellow technology professional. I'm a fellow technology professional. I've on many, many different episodes, both in this show and other shows, countless other shows, I've talked about how I balance my life and all the tactics that I've shared, you know, time blocking and working early in the morning. Although this might not apply to people, I'd love to hear your version of how you're balancing, managing family life, the W-2, investing. What secrets can you let us in on? How do you make it work?
There is no secret. And I think, Andrew, I think before I even jumped in into that, I think I had a similar concern, like, how will I do that? And I think I talked to you, Andrew, and a lot of credit goes to you in the past when I, even before jumping in, you provided a really good guidance. So all the listeners out there, if you have a question about that, Andrew is a great resource and always provides a good advice. So thanks for doing that.
Going back to
the answer, how do I do it? So I think really balancing is really important, because it's not that you have one thing. You have a full-time job. You do this, then that takes time and energy as well. If you have a family like me, a young family, that needs time as well, and health. And that's one of the most important part that I always mention, that health is the number one priority, no matter what you do. Like, if you cannot maintain your health, then everything else that you do won't be able to enjoy. So health comes first, family, and then the wealth, right? So those are my top three priorities in that order that I execute on. So health, make sure that I give my time to health, work out, do things. So I take time for that as well. I need to give time to family and then my full-time job. And then after that, my investment work that needs to happen as well. Really, I have to bucketize and follow the really strict work ethics in that way. Really plan out a future in advance is helpful for me. So if I am looking like 2 to 3 weeks down the line from here, I want all my calendar to be scheduled up like that. What is my family time is block it off. What is the entire work hours are blocked that off. What is my time to go to the gym that is blocked off, so that it's not the urgency that is driving me and setting my schedule. It's me setting that my own schedule, right? So I'm the one who's deciding what is a priority for me, in what order I'm going to perform any tasks, and what is important for me, so that I'm not always working on urgent stuff, because sometimes urgent stuff is not important, right? So I want to work in a quadrant where important stuff is happening, but it's valuable as well. And that I have to look at it holistically by putting all these pieces together and divide up my time.
That's great. So I got to ask an open and honest question. How often does your schedule get interrupted? Because I know mine does all the time. And once you answer that, how do you deal with readjusting? Because everybody's got their own techniques, because then it happens. This is real life, man, right? Like we have these perfect schedules. How do you deal with the interruptions?
Yeah, so I think that happens like all the time. Like even in a day, maybe it happens multiple times. So I think my strategy always is to look at, always execute in the list of the priority, right? If something gets interrupted in my schedule, and like if this needs to come in, then something needs to drop off. And what would that be? So if I planned on doing something that if this interruption wouldn't have happened, then I need to reevaluate. If that takes over and something is coming in, if that's a priority, then something else needs to go away, and what that thing is. And now I already mentioned what that priority list looks like in the beginning, which is health, my family, then my work, and then investment. So I know at a very high level what my priority order is. And now I just have to look at it. What are the tasks involved across those four things? And I will prioritize those. Something needs to drop off so that I can make room for something else that's coming in.
What advice would you give someone in your shoes maybe 2 years ago that is like, oh my God, I don't know where to get started. Maybe I've read a book, I listened to this podcast. What do I do now?
So the only thing I recommend that I would tell anybody really who wants to make progress, no matter whether investment or something else or just a personal development, keep up consistency. Consistency is the major factor. You don't need to read 10 books or 20 books to find out what you need to do. I think if you can be consistent on doing something, that is you're already a winner. And by consistency, I don't mean that it cannot get interrupted. If you start on day one, on day two, it needs to happen. No. Even if you fall for, hey, I did it for 3 days, but on fourth day, I couldn't do it. That's fine. On 3 days, you couldn't do it. That's fine as well. But what's important is how soon can you come back to it? If you can fail fast and come back fast, what you were doing, I think you are already a winner. Anyone is already a winner at that point, and they will make great, great progress.
I want to emphasize that point because we all have, I mean, as consistent as I feel like I've been over the last 2 years, we all have our fall down points, whether they be holidays or vacation periods. And it's important not to beat yourself up over that. It's important to get back on the horse as soon as you can and recognize, okay, no big deal. Let me get back on it. And it's just like the gym, right? If you miss five workouts or six, once you get to that 2 week period and you start to slip, the statistical probability of getting back on the horse becomes less and less. Yeah, well, we all have, but it's real life, man, right? We all have schedules, we all have discipline, but we all fall off the horse at some point. You got to get
back on. Kids get sick and then things happen, right? And it's not in your control. So don't beat yourself up what's not in your control, and then just keep doing what and keep coming back to it what you plan to do. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, Josh, this has been awesome. Thanks for kind of giving us a peek into your personal and professional life, as well as how you balance the two of them. For listeners who are wanting to know more, to get to know Josh a little bit better, to learn more about your company and what you do, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
Yeah, the best way to get in touch with me is via LinkedIn. I'm very active on LinkedIn. I talk to a lot of people. I post good stuff there. And my website is thewayinvestorgroup.com. So that's the best resource as well. So yeah, we are on all the social media networks as well, but LinkedIn is the best way to reach out one-on-one with me. So yeah.
That's fantastic. Any final words of wisdom for our listeners out there?
Yeah, just keep crushing, just like Andrew. This is amazing to know someone like you, and keep doing what you're good at it. Find out your strengths, what you are good at it, and then just keep crushing it.
Appreciate that, brother. Thanks for coming on the show. Appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you so much, Andrew.
Thanks for listening in with us for another episode of the Crushing Cashflow Podcast. We have a small favor to ask of all of our listeners. Please subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. Each subscription and rating will help us massively toward our goal of helping reach as many listeners as possible each week. Thank you very much once again for listening. We're thrilled to have you with us as part of this journey, and we can't wait to share more of these stories with you. Stay tuned for much more to come.